CliffCentral.com.
Yeah! We're all here today. First time in what? Two weeks?
Give or take.
Yeah, it's the first time in 2 weeks that we've all been in the studio.
Good times.
Ben's been here every day, slogging.
Yeah.
Like our what do you call it?
What's your survivor?
What's your, what's like the Jacques Callis of the team who can just keep slogging?
Or just keeps blocking it out, really. That's more like it. I've been like the night watchman.
That's right.
He just wicked away.
All right. Well, Princess Mabali Moloi is here.
Queen, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Wow.
All right, you old queen.
It's good to be back.
Speaking of old queen, see us, I'm ready to finish.
There we go. That's right.
Are you healthy?
Yeah.
That's a very loaded question. We're relatively healthy.
We'll get into that in a second. Let's keep welcoming the whole team. Here, a lonely and miserable Ben Karpinski, whose girlfriend I've heard is away for, 8 weeks in a row?
Seven weekends out of the next eight, I think it is.
So basically, you're a single man. I mean, you're just sitting at home, you and meows. It's pathetic.
It's not pathetic.
You're like a widower.
I like my life, and unfortunately, I'm missing out on a big aspect of that. But I'll just substitute with golf and documentaries.
Right.
Well,
that's what the cool kids would do. We
welcome you back to the single life, Ben.
And rabbit farmer Lucas Matibula is there as well.
Yeah, that's right.
You want to try that mic again? Something might have just, I don't know, someone might have crossed a wire or something. No, just too much to expect that would work this morning. You know me and technical problems. Anyway, there we go. Welcome, Lucas. So we're all here this morning. We're all here to look after you. And it's a short week. Before you blink your eyes, it'll be over.
And then we've got the movie premiere tomorrow night.
Yes.
So Ben was telling me about this movie, and it's actually going to be one of the few that I go and sit in the cinema and watch. It sounds great. Who's in it? Ryan Reynolds and...
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Had to think about
that for a second. Jake Gyllenhaal. You couldn't have made a simpler name. He couldn't have called himself Jake Gilly or something.
Well, it's his family name. What is he meant to do?
Well, make one that's a little easier to roll off the tongue. I mean, doesn't he want Oscars? Meryl Streep. Two syllables.
Oh, that's why Leo DiCaprio didn't win for such a long time.
Jack Nicholson.
Exactly. Oh, okay.
Keep it Jake Gyllenhaal. Right? Know what I mean? No. Doesn't he have a famous sister as well?
Maggie
Jones.
Yeah, she was like the sort of budget version of Katie Holmes. When she was in the Batman, that's what the Batman reviews said, not me. Okay. Not my words.
Right.
You know I plagiarized violently.
All right.
Oh, no. Well, it's exciting, happening tomorrow night.
What is the name of the movie?
Life. Because do we find life on Mars or not?
I heard it's an intergalactic Breakback Mountain.
Just because
Jake Gyllenhaal's
in it?
Yeah, well, Ryan Reynolds is looking to diversify towards Oscars.
He should.
Yeah. So therefore, he's discovering what life is.
Let's stick to what the script says, Ben. Or maybe you want to leave like a open, happy ending.
So we got our Thursday night movie premiere. By the way, we're trying to do these, and I'm sorry that it's only in Joburg. We may roll it out to the rest of the country as things go, but we sold out so quickly on the last movie we did, and we decided, you know what, every now and then, because we've got such an awesome audience, and we've got the best people in the whole country listening to us, and they make decisions. They're not paralyzed with like, oh, can I go? Can I not go? Oh, I don't know if I want to commit. You know, when we sell out a cinema, it's 100% sold within 2-3 hours. So we thought, you know, we must do this more.
Yeah.
Well, and now it's sold out already for tomorrow. It was sold out within like 2 or 3 days.
There we go.
Well, you announced it, I think, once. And then it was like, well, don't really have any tickets left.
Excellent.
So bad that Sears Lap was actually up for a seat.
Yeah, I really had to take one for the team here.
So you might have to stand in the aisles.
No, someone might have to sit on my lap.
Oh, well, you have to be very picky about who that is.
Specifically.
But first of all, we've got to be careful because it's got to be someone who you would want on your lap. But second of all, and more distressingly, is if they sit on you and they're just even 5 kilograms heavier than you, they'll crush you to death.
Yeah. So basically, if they weigh more than 15 kilograms, it's game over.
That's it.
It's game over.
Well, it's also just like having one of those signs saying you must be this tall to be on this ride.
Yeah. are.
Yes. Like, you must be this tall, Beyonce.
Do you know what you are? You are like those magazine covers that make girls feel bad about themselves because they feel fat when they look at them. Yes, you are. You're the president of the Anorexic and Bulimic Society.
That's
without
the best
even being.
Compliment. All right, day's done. Okay, cool. And I can go home.
And then every now and again, Sia will come up to me and he'll say, oh, you know, my ass is just looking too big today. Well, and I'm like, are you kidding right now? Get out of my face.
But that's why I'm saying you're the president of the Anorexic and Bulimic Society without actually participating.
Let's have this conversation over my lunch today, which is a block of cheese.
Yes!
You know, Thin is absolutely way better in terms of attractiveness and sexiness and all of that stuff than being, like, ripped. Thin is always better. I mean, look at David Bowie, Mick Jagger. Look at those guys. They had, like, sexy rock thin, you know?
Yeah, but that was back in the day when, like, LSD and cigarettes was known as breakfast.
What, you prefer guys who are jacked?
No, but now,
Mubs, what do you think?
No, but everything's changed now, because now strong is the new sexy.
Yeah, and curvy is the new sexy
whatever
for women.
Whatever happened to that stage with the dad bod?
No, that was never a thing. There were a bunch of guys who tried to make it a thing because they kind of stuck in the dad bod phase.
That didn't work.
But that we never bought that for a second as the heterosexual women. No,
I didn't buy that.
No, we'll always take a six pack over a Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, thin just means you're in the game. Like, that's just it.
By the way, I've heard President Obama, you know, he's been living it up since he's not president anymore. He's hanging out with Richard Branson. Mm. Remember?
Yes.
Wakeboarding and kite surfing and just like having the best time of his life. And that guy deserves it after having been president for so long. Apparently, he's on Leo DiCaprio's pussy boat right now. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
And he's just snorting lines and taking pills and just living it large.
Okay, well, I mean,
he said,
you know.
He called someone I know. He said, Michelle's looking after the kids, and I'm having the life I should have had when I was 30. Huh. I mean, he deserves it, right? You don't begrudge him that.
No, let your hair down after 8 years in the White House.
Especially knowing that the country's going to shit under Donald Trump. He's going to have the best record of any president.
Man.
He's like, I left it great. I'm going to have a party.
Yeah, he definitely does.
Anyway. All right, so how are your hives this morning, Sia? Since we're doing health updates. Mabali doesn't know anything about this, and she freaked out this morning when we told her.
Can you scoot a bit closer?
No.
I hate having discussions before we can bring you in. If you listen to us every morning, I don't like talking about stuff before we can talk about it with you. And this morning, there was about a five-second discussion where Mabali recoiled in horror as I asked Sia about his hives. So you haven't missed anything. Sia, tell Mabali what the story is, because Monday... Balesa was freaking out. She wouldn't let Sia sit next to her, let alone touch her.
Yeah.
And she was running down the passage screaming like a banshee because she didn't want him like passing on the hives. We weren't sure whether it was contagious or not. Greg wouldn't touch Sia.
Yep.
People, they wouldn't go near him.
Had about...
Which was so discriminatory. If we lived in biblical times, I would be like the person who took the leper's food in the colony.
I felt like a leper.
And the rest of us would have tried to burn you.
Yes. Honestly. There were at least six people who did not want to touch me in the office on Monday.
Let it be known that people don't just go up to Steer and touch him. I mean, this is not the kind of show we're running here. It's not like we all just see Steer and start grinding on him.
Okay, so what is your problem? Because I did... I was trying to look you over because you wanted to give me a hug.
Yeah.
And I was trying to look at your exposed arms to see what we're dealing with here before I touched you.
That's why I have to say I'm so grateful. It's all like underneath my clothing right now.
Oh.
Which is not so sexy at all, though. It looks like I've been whipped all over. Oh. That's the thing, because I literally have like this little red mark on my one ass cheek. I'm like, what is going on? I had like stared at it for a good 8 minutes this morning.
So, yeah, but I do feel like this is last week's news. To talk us through this manly beard of yours.
I'm good. Okay, one issue at a time here,
He's
Ben.
He's getting
okay.
this like Rick Ross look out of nowhere with none of us noticing.
First issue, I kind of had drinks on Friday night, which involved copious amounts of gin, which I never usually drink.
Gin and juice.
Some Jesus juice in there as well. Yeah. And some whiskey as well. But what I actually recently thought of is I put like little different things in my gin as well. So like some raspberries, okay. some lavender.
Thinks he's Jamie Oliver.
Okay. I was just living my best life. And I think, and then I had a bad reaction to it since Saturday. Okay. So it's a reaction, folks. That is not contagious.
But you didn't do what we said and try whiskey on the Monday night so that you could figure out whether it was whiskey or gin, because you don't know which one it might be.
So we bought some gin yesterday, but I was just like, no, I'm not for this life. So my sister just, you know, was such a great team player and just had it all alone.
Oh,
and was passed out.
Get the rap for you.
At like 3 in the afternoon. I was like, what is going on with you? She was drunk. We had placed an order, you know, for some lunch, and I was in my room thinking, cool, you're going to get it. By the time it was,
can
like
I just say that when
you
and your sister order lunch, things go badly wrong. I remember Cape Town where you both got food poisoning and you were man down for like the whole weekend.
Yeah, it's always kind of a bad experience. Yeah. So like by 5 in the afternoon, I was now really hungry.
Yeah.
Go into our lounge and I see her passed out on the couch. So
nice.
Delightful team player here. So we'll see. I'm still giving it like a couple of days. Still on medication. And yeah.
Okay.
I'm not dead yet. Sorry.
No, this won't be what kills you.
I'm almost
kind of sad.
Yeah, I love having these discussions. I hope that that when you listen to this, you find it more entertaining than having to talk about politics the whole time, because I'm so over politics. I go through these phases, and sometimes I'm interested and sometimes I'm not. But I'm in one of those stages now where the last thing I want to talk about is Batabile Dlamini or Helen Ziller or Gedlihle Kisa or any of that stuff. I just don't want to talk about them. I didn't even mention a Monday. That whole pasta and boro and burning in Tlemesa thing. Because burning in Tlemesa, I went to some church service and pasta and boro with. I mean, can you imagine any two worse people to spend your Sunday with than those two dicks?
And then there was that incident over the weekend where the Chief Justice's...
Yeah, his offices were
raided. His offices were burgled and they took off with computers and, you know, a whole bunch of people
were
saying...
And no one thinks that's suspicious at all.
Oh, no. No.
It's just
a random act.
I don't want to get into politics. Yeah. I just want to stay away from it, because it seems to me like everywhere you turn, this country is so basic. We're such basic people. And I don't mean... You know, like, I'm probably the only person who's going to go on air and say we're a nation of really stupid people, but we are. And I've said that since years ago when our maths and science results came in and they were just pathetic. We're the dumbest country in Africa,
man,
let alone the rest of the world. And it's so easy to distract us that we never want to talk about the serious things, because it takes us too much intellectual capacity. And for some people, the most they can manage is like getting out of bed in the morning and clocking in at work and just walking around like they've been sentenced to death. You know, and especially in a week like this where people aren't motivated to do anything.
Yeah.
Because they go, oh, well, it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I'll just pitch up at work, get paid, and I don't really want to go. You know, no one wants to do more than is absolutely necessary.
That's why all these bad ideas and alternative facts are living amongst the mainstream, because it's so much easier to digest than the real story and things like perspective and maybe reading an article.
Yeah. Yeah. I do have something positive I want to talk about.
Oh.
Let me just see if I can hook this up, because I want to talk to Hlubi Mboya. She won a SAFTA award.
SAFTA.
Oh, yes. Yes. She did. Yeah. We love Hlubi.
Very, very cool.
She's like part of the whole family here, and she's got her own show and everything, and she's
also one of the most aggressive huggers, pound for pound, probably the most aggressive hugger on earth. God,
but listen, she's fit. That girl is... I tell you something. I wouldn't want to take Hlubi Mboya on you. She has these warrior races and all that stuff.
I do not know how she does it.
I mean, she's dedicated. You know, every now and again, she'll post a video on her Instagram or a picture of her workout sessions, and you just think, okay, so I'll never get to that level of fitness.
So I thought we'd just call her and first of all congratulate her on the award and just catch up with her, because we haven't had her on the show for a while. And I love, love, love Hlubi. So let's see if she's awake. I'll bet
Hello,
Hlub Hlubs.
Hello.
It's Gareth. Can you hear me? Hlubi? I wonder why this isn't working so well.
Oh.
Hello, Hlubs. It's Gareth. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning.
Yay.
Was that? Yay. Okay, so you can hear us. I was just worried about the connection.
Yay!
First of all,
don't put me around any more clips because now I'm an ASAPTO winner. You have to be nice to me at the office.
I know. That's why we're calling you. Don't spoil the fun. We were going to congratulate you,
Ben,
up front.
And you, Ben.
Always nice to you.
Listen.
Be nice to me now, people. Yes, my love.
We are so blown away by the fact that finally this country is starting to take note and recognize one of its greatest actresses. We've always thought you were, and we thought that you know, you're right on top of the pile. And we're just pleased that you won the SAFTA. It's about goddamn time that you got some recognition.
Babe, it's been a long time waiting. You know what, to be honest, if I didn't win this year, man, I think I would have just changed the career and started some and been a serious teacher CEO forever and ever.
Well,
but now I'm re-energized. You know what I mean? I just feel good.
You know,
I feel validated.
You've never not been energized, so don't lie to me. You have done. You're a triple threat. You have acting under the belt now, and now you've got the recognition for that acting. I mean, you've done so much work in television and movies already. Then you've got the future CEOs thing, where you really can. And I've seen you doing lectures and talks and interviews.
I'm pushing, my man. I'm pushing.
Yeah. So you've got that future CEO thing down, and I would say the future part of it's already gone because you are a CEO. And then the third thing is, like, you are Miss Fitness South Africa.
Yes.
We were just saying.
Guess where I'm going. That's why you couldn't call me at 7.
You're off to gym.
Oh my goodness! What are we doing with our lives?
You're an overachiever, and it's very inspiring. I don't find it off-putting; I find it inspiring. But Ben was saying that you are pound for pound the biggest hugger he's ever met in his life.
You better believe it. I can't wait to come in on Thursday.
It's the highlight of our week.
I won't be giving; I'll be receiving.
So tell me quickly.
Mamala, you too, Missy. You too. I know you're
she's,
there.
She's not much of a hugger, but she'll try.
You know what?
I don't care. I'll kiss her. She knows my kisses.
I know. That's fine. I'm always happy to be in your embrace.
My kisses, my sister. Please, Garrett.
No, I wanted to know how the SAFTAs were for you, because you didn't know when you went there that you were going to win. And obviously it's nice to win, but the whole vibe of the thing, it was both amazing, but then a lot of people were obviously very sad about Joe Mafelo, who died on the Saturday, and news started to trickle through on the Sunday. But I mean, it must have been a nice vibe there, and there must have been a nice sort of collegial atmosphere with all the other actors and actresses.
Well, guys, remember this? It's the first time I've ever been nominated for a SAFTA, so I've never experienced that in its entirety ever. And it was the first time it's ever been broadcast live from Sun City. So it was cool to have a weekend getaway. It's so cool to party with your peers and your colleagues and just relax.
Right.
And just give it up for the nominees. I really enjoy that. And I'm having a great party afterwards. You know, it really isn't about all us auditioning for the same part and just stress and strain and kind of wanting that role, which is auditioning for so many people and one people get it. So we were all just relaxed, having a good time, spurring each other on, congratulating each other, and really celebrating each other's work. And it just, it realizes to me there is so much happening in the industry. There is so much, as you said, incredible talent. And it really, the SAFTAs are really just getting more quality, and they're really just polishing up everything, which makes us feel good about ourselves, the industry that we're working for and passionate about, and basically advocates for, really are setting the bars to another level for the next generation. And I love it. I'm re-energized.
What is it about South African movies and television? I mean, we're so dominated by the soap operas. I brought this up on Monday morning. Our television industry is pretty much the bedrock of it is soaps. And without the soaps, we don't have ratings. Without the soaps, we don't have viewers. Without the soaps, we don't have advertising. Do you think that's going to change? Because you've done a lot of drama. You've done soap operas. You've dipped your toe in that pool long enough. But you really, I'm sure your passion lies in other places. What do you think is going to happen next?
Gareth, I won the SAFTA for a feature film. And you know what? I'm grateful for the life and the time that I spent on the soapy. Because as you say, you know what? It paid my salary for a decade. I was on that show for a decade. So I was in the comfort zone. I was cool. That was where I started my acting career at 21 years old. Mm-hmm. So I'm blessed to have experienced that. But I have to tell you, my friend and my boss, that I don't feel that creative space on a set on television like I do on film, because my character is short-lived on a feature film, and I'm able to express myself creatively. And obviously, we've got to churn those edits in as soon as possible. On a soapy, you know, you are allowed to play for years for something, and you find yourself really not cutting the cracks of the character because you've got so much to play with, you know, and I just love being under pressure. I love the fact I've got 3 weeks to shoot something and I've got to make an impact instead of being on something for a decade where, yes, I'm a household name, but what does that really, really mean to me as an artist? Do you know what I mean?
And what does it mean to the bottom line? Because that's the other thing we've got to be honest about in this country is that actors, in particular on feature films, the few that we do produce, and in dramas, they don't get paid what they should get paid.
Babe, don't even go there.
I think people like you who take their job seriously as an actor, you find it very difficult because you have to do 100 things in order to make the bottom line work. You can't pour yourself into something if you're not making a living out of it.
And Gareth, that was the epitome of Joe Mafela. He was a legend and is a godfather because you know what? We saw him in the up and down moments. He had the humility of an angel. And you know what? He was so generous. And I always say to people, guys, we can have all the Oscars in the world, but it's not about people don't remember you for that. People remember you for the way they made you feel. And when I met Joe, he was so good to me. I was young. I didn't know anything. And here I was foodling and egging over this legend. And he was like, Subi, this is an industry for people who've got thick skin. Just do what you have to, but it's going to be up and down. And he was honest and blunt about it. Mm. And I love that about him and his sincerity and his intuition to the craft and to the people who are really hungry for it. And he was a kind of man, Gareth, that could hang around anybody. All the pictures that were on social media, it was from kings to queens, from Subis at the Market Theater to the SAFTAs, you know what I mean? Mm. He hung around anyone, and you can, that energy and that magic was just infallible with that man. And he is the kind of person that you want to live the same kind of legacy when you pass on.
You know what? I'm so proud of you, and we love you lots, and we'll see you on Thursday for Future CEOs. That's tomorrow already.
See you Thursday.
What are you training today, you superwoman?
I'm actually very tired because we party hard over the weekend, so I'm sweating out all of the things. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, just don't overexert yourself. The last thing we need, if Klubi Mboya ever loses her energy, we know we've got a major global crisis on our hands.
I love you all. I'll see you Thursday and future CEOs, people. Thank you so much.
All right. Yay. Love you lots. There's Klubi Mboya. Congratulations. That's our winner. What a winner she is.
You know, most of us at 6:25 in the morning sound like... That's what we sound like.
She's amazing.
I want a Klubi Mboya for breakfast. That's what I just want to... I don't know, can I get her in pill form? Can I inject her into my system?
There's some kind of chemical thing she's got that the rest of us just don't. You know, everybody's got a different internal biology, a different biological chemistry to them. And whatever's happening in Klubi, those mitochondria in each of her cells are churning out way more energy than the rest of us.
Jeez. Mm. You know, I wonder, you know, all the things that those like motivational speakers mention of like it's all in the mind and it's a decision as you wake up and you... I really don't know if we are all capable of doing that.
No.
To wake up and go, cool, today I'm going to be energized. No, guys.
There's lots of stuff that I want to talk about this morning. Maybe we should get straight into news. That's coming up in about 5 minutes' time. Mm-hmm. Someone's just mentioned here, Just Katie says, did you guys see the incident at the Spur between the black woman and the white man?
Yep, we'll get into it.
Ooh.
I've got that in my news, of course.
And for me, it's about what Black Twitter was able to do with this. Anyway, okay, let's talk about this.
Ashley says, I'm with you guys, so over the politicians. Yep. And Clint from The Vol says, guys, watch the interviews on from Jake and Ryan on the movie, full of humorous bromance. That's obviously the movie that we're premiering tomorrow night.
So maybe Ben is right.
Well, I don't know.
Maybe it is like a Brokeback Mountain of space. All right. And a bunch of cool stuff happening this week with, I see Lesego Mapanga is busy telling us that Gentlemen by Choice this week, Unplugged and In Charge. They're going to be talking about a whole lot of interesting stuff. So you must listen to that show. It's Thursdays at, 11 in the morning. think that's right. So many good shows going on at the moment. I've completely lost track of what time anyone is.
Nope. Yeah.
And I'm meant to know this stuff. Yeah, well, luckily, there's a lineup on cliffcentral.com.
Exactly. Go on the website. That homepage tells you everything.
Yes.
Yeah, at 12.
All right. So we've determined in the first half hour that Sia is not contagious with his hives, that Mabale doesn't have to avoid him like the plague.
But Mabale doesn't care in general.
Mm-mm. Right? I did want to bring up one thing. Stupid Eusebius McKaiser.
This guy falls into the whole politician thing, right?
Well, no, because he's not important enough. He really isn't. And he tweeted something out the other day, which is obviously, he's got such a like obsession with what we're doing here. I think he desperately wants to be a part of what we do. It's so weird. He tweeted out something about how people who listen to podcasts think they're so cool or whatever, and that live radio is so much more interesting. And I don't have any beef with live radio. I spent 18 years of my adult life producing live radio. So, you know, Eusebius McKaiser with, 4 months under the belt mustn't start telling me about the marvels of live radio. That would be like someone who's invented the Saturn V rocket telling you how much fun it is when you blow up a chlorine bomb in your back garden.
Yeah, but Gareth, that was 18 years of unwork live radio.
Well, yeah. Okay, fair enough. But, you know, this is not – this guy, he's got a very, very – wishy-washy show. It's not very well put together. He doesn't do good interviews. He's not particularly adept on air. He doesn't know what to do. He's just not, he's an amateur doing live radio. You mustn't tell me about the beauties of live radio as opposed to podcasts. I can tell you something. We got people like Hlubin Boya on here doing podcasts. She's better at her podcasts than you are at live radio, my friend. Be very careful what you start tweeting around trying to defend your territory as if it's your territory. You've only been occupying it for 4 months. Plus, you're on the downslope. You know, radio's dying and you want to come in and trumpet how great it is right now. Just be very careful. You haven't got a lot of ammo on your side. Dick. And we know he listens to us every day for all of his ideas. So don't come at me with that. And the last thing I want to say about talk radio, because people, I mean, radio generally, people talk about to me about this, is apparently Whackhead did his last show the other day. I think it was Friday last week. I didn't listen because I just got back from America. And a friend of mine said he was crying like the whole way through the show. Now, he's going to afternoons. Anela's going to mornings. It's not like he's leaving, but he was in tears the whole way through it.
Really?
It's just, doesn't it strike you as weird? Isn't it almost like an emotional overreaction to being demoted? Why would you cry? You're going to afternoons. Your audience can just listen to you in the afternoon.
Also, why?
You're saying goodbye. I didn't cry at my last show. Did we cry when we did our last show? We'd been doing that morning show for years more than him.
Yes, but we were happy to leave. I mean, most people in that situation are reminiscing about the good old days, and you know they're letting go of this thing that's become a part of their life for years and years, and maybe that's where they get emotional.
Well,
we were happy to find that exit.
There was way too much tequila flowing for tears that day. Way too much.
Were they drinking?
We were
drinking. Yeah, that day.
Oh, yeah. You guys were. Okay.
Yeah. But also, why isn't Wackett doing the full month? Why is the show finishing half month?
I don't know. They just obviously need to can it ASAP. I don't know what's going on. I think they're all running around like chickens without heads at the moment. What we've got to do, though, is we've got to persuade people to start listening to what's going on online. You know, again, we're preaching to the choir here because anybody who listens to us every morning knows this already. I met a guy at the gym yesterday. He came up to me. I hate it when people come up to me in the gym, and he held the phone in my face and he was listening to one of our podcasts. So I said to him, you know what? You just made my day. I thought you were going to annoy me, but you made my day. Thank you. But we've got to spread that word around. Get everybody on board, because although we've got, you know, a couple of 100,000 people who really get what we're doing here and love what we're doing, and thank you for that. You know, it means the world to me. We're almost 3 years old in May. In May, we will be three. We've just got to get those people who don't know yet how to do it. You've got to show them. I actually have to go up to people sometimes with my phone, download the app for them, and show them how to listen. And once they've got it, they never go back. Like, they never... They stay with it. They love it because it's so fresh and different. And you can be you here. You can call us. You can talk to us. We can share ideas. We can expand our knowledge base. We can get chatting about stuff we really care about. And there's no complication. There's no middleman to get in the way, like the Broadcasting Complaints Commission or any of that stuff. So, you know, if you haven't joined the party yet and you know people who would benefit from it, please spread the news. I can't say this enough. I should just put in a reminder every day to remind you to tell other people how to listen to us, because I'm going to need every single one of you to do this. You're like our foot soldiers spreading the word about what's going on online.
Start spreading the news.
Ba, ba, da, 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 da.
We
podcasts are the way. Ba, ba, da, 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 da. You need to listen to us, dickhead. Boom, listen to us.
Sorry, I don't have enough leg room, you know, for my high kicks.
Yeah.
Just needed that. I do have stockings in my car. We are doing an outfit change for the song.
Mabali, something very sweet and touching happened this morning. Ben unwrapped a delivery that was made the other day. I don't even know what the delivery was.
Yeah.
But around it was bubble wrap, which he lovingly gave to Mabali. He knows she's obsessed with bubble wrap.
It's my de-stressing mechanism. If I just get a hold of the bubble wrap and I start popping away,
you love it.
I calm down.
Yeah.
You know, I read an article a couple of months ago and I was about to send it to Mabali, but I thought, let me rather not, because it will break her heart. And it's the possibility that they might stop making bubble wrap that actually pops. Look at her face.
I mean, it doesn't hurt anyone. It's not an environmental threat. It's not a risk to babies chewing it up and like swallowing it.
Damn it. Yeah. I'll just wait for a very horrible day in your life and just make it even worse.
It is time for the news. Here we go. Well, the news brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. They've spent 24 years perfecting the art of pizza making, constantly learning and adjusting to give you their unique slice of Italian-inspired deliciousness. Some things have changed here and there, but the goal has always been to produce the finest artisanal wood-fired pizza. Colcacchio Pizzeria, they're the reason that you crave pizza. For more info, you can visit colcacchio.co.za. That's colcacchio.co.za. Over to you, Mubs. What's in the news?
Well, March 21st, if you didn't know, is Human Rights Day. And so the president, as well as his deputy, Cyril Ramaphosa, were in King Williamstown in the Eastern Cape yesterday, where the president gave an address. Among many other things, the president said that Human Rights Day commemorations should be used as an opportunity to reflect on the past and ensure it's never allowed to repeat itself. The president then also called on South Africans to unite. And as if that was some kind of joke, over on Twitter, South Africans were doing a very good job of proving that that whole unity thing is complete bogus.
Well, I gotta commend the president when he says things like that. We know he doesn't mean it, but
yes.
But I still appreciate that he's saying presidential things and behaving like a leader should and telling people, you know what, put your differences aside, because his behavior would show an entirely different sort of agenda.
Mm.
But I do think he's got to say the right thing, and this is the right thing to say, is get over your crap. We've got a nation to build. We're a nation that's sliding backwards. We've got no growth in the economy. There are more and more poor people every day. We can't even pay their grants properly because of my useless government. But let's try to focus on a common goal, as in set your differences aside. Let's build a future. I mean, I can't understand how anyone would be against that.
So the incident, of course, that we are referring to is the video that very quickly went viral from an incident that took place at the Spur at the Glen Shopping Center in Oakdale.
Yeah. Mm.
In the video, an unidentified white man can be seen aggressively shaking a table.
I'm just going to keep our anthem going to show how wonderful we
yes.
are.
Yes. I am particularly thinking of that, and united we shall stand at this particular moment.
What can you move?
So this guy aggressively shaking a table at which a black woman is sitting with a group of young children who are apparently celebrating one of those spur birthdays.
Can I just say, if it was a white woman, we would have just written them off as white trash, right? We wouldn't have paid any attention. But because it's a black and white thing, it's big news.
It's big news, Gareth. And, you know, you will have seen it on Twitter yesterday. Black and white people very quickly assumed position, retreated to their separate camps.
Definitely.
In the video as well, the man threatens to hit the woman. She calls him a bully. And then the two of them hurl expletives at each other.
It's great. Just such well-polished, civilized, well red people these are. You know, what we've got to learn in South Africa is that there is a huge difference between someone who's black and white who behaves with some decorum and someone who's black or white and behaves with no decorum. And both of these people are just trash. I mean, I was talking to, I saw a friend of mine, Mzizi, on Facebook. She said what irritates her is that this has been made a racial thing when actually it's just two disgusting people behaving disgustingly.
Mm. Yeah, but you know, and this is the thing is, it always happens this way, doesn't it? An incident occurs, and then it very quickly becomes a race thing. And then people argue amongst themselves about whether or not it is the race thing. But by that stage, whether or not it is a race thing is irrelevant because both camps have made it into a race thing.
Then it's just fire, fire, fire. Everywhere.
And then the CEO of Spur. Well, firstly,
apparently, they had to get involved. Well, they, so not Spur's fault.
Oh, no, they had to. Gareth, you have to get involved when something happens at your establishment.
Yeah,
you,
because
you have to speak on it. You have to react to it because then otherwise people are going to criticize you for not having done anything about it. So,
yeah, people were already criticizing the Spur staff and or management for
what
not having stepped in or said anything.
You know, I personally have never been in an incident where an altercation unfolds right in front of me.
Mm.
So, A, I don't know how I would react.
Yeah.
And the CEO of Spurs, Pierre van Tonder, you know.
Fuck you!
Firstly, they apparently have banned this white man from Spur. Because that's obviously the worst thing in the world that can happen to you, right?
Well, if you're...
It's being banned from an establishment.
If you are a trashy white person, being banned from Spur is like being sent to, you know, Antarctica.
And what does that mean? Like, will his face be at the entrance of every single Spur? Like a most wanted sign?
What if he goes to one in Velcom where they didn't get the news?
Yes.
If he really needs that lazy aged rump, is he still going to find it in Port Gitarsrus?
Man.
Then he said that he would be trying to arrange a meeting between the two customers because now he wants to be mediator. I don't know why he wants
finally,
to take...
Finally, there's going
to
be a decent like spur ad after this.
The Desmond Tutu of family restaurants.
This will make such a great
TRC
ad.
Of T-bone steaks.
But to the criticism that people were laying against the staff members, the CEO said, well, how do you train people to deal with this kind of thing?
Let me just tell you, this would never happen with our sponsor, Kolkakia Pizzeria. They've never, ever had trashy people like this in their establishment.
Also, may I also point out, this never happened when Salad Valley was still in Spur.
Oh, my God.
They took that away. The tranquility of the place went down the toilet.
I remember
Salad Valley.
They could have diffused it with a trick of the clown. Someone should have just started singing a song. It could have been fine.
I don't know what I've been told.
Somebody here is getting old.
That's how you diffuse it.
Okay.
Do you know what I find so remarkable? And this is when you start to debate, is this mob mentality on Twitter a good or a bad thing?
Yeah, it's terrible.
Because now following this incident, you know, people on Twitter were able to identify who this man was and who this woman was.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and this mob mentality has also been able to identify who the man's girlfriend is, where this white man works, even as far as identifying the fact that he does CrossFit and what time his classes are.
It's just insane.
Yeah,
so
now they're going to do what they call doxing, which is where you go after
goodness.
This person.
Yes. So now this guy will be, you know, just going at 6 a.m. to his CrossFit class. Then he finds a mini mob standing outside there. This is crazy.
It's no different to back in the days of witches being burnt in the stake. You know, that whole mob mentality of climb on one person, all of us.
Because then it'll make you feel better about the fact that you're a misery.
Aye, but guys, you know, it's one thing to be annoyed. Now I'm going to say, yeah. And then I'm going to wake up at 5 and drive to his CrossFit class.
Imagine someone who doesn't. I mean, it's not your life. I'm going to get in my car. I'm going to go to his CrossFit class. I'm going to stand outside and you're a bad person. get over
it. That really is a lot. And I'm not like saying I'm not sympathizing or whatever, but you must really be moved. You know, it's getting dark and cold. And
there were also a lot of people who were very critical at the mother, the black woman, saying, well, why is she behaving like that in front of her children? You know, again, that whole holier than thou thing that we like to do coming through.
I would never do that in front of my children. Yeah, meanwhile, your children learned every filthy word from you when they heard you shouting at your husband because he was cheating on you, you miserable, trashy human being. Listen, I don't care that kids heard this. Kids have got to get into... I like the fact that children who were in that spur got to see how horrible adults can be so that they can decide there and then that's not how they want to be. I remember seeing adults behaving badly when I was a kid. And I remember thinking, ooh. And in fact, someone posted a very interesting comment. They said, look at the little, I think it's a little girl who's sitting at the table with the glasses on.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the way she's looking at her own mom or her aunt or whatever it is and the white guy. Look at how she's looking at them. Look at how disappointed in humanity that child is. That, I think, is great. She's got to learn right up front that humans are fallible, stupid mammals, that they behave badly at any given opportunity, and that she must not be like that. She must, at every point in her life, make the decision to not fall back into being a barbarian.
And, you know, we did like this powerful special yesterday with Answer, which is the Anti-Racism Network of South Africa. It's an awesome, awesome podcast. It's available on the website.
Right.
But one of the quotes that Sean Mudley, who hosted the show, said was, and I'm paraphrasing here, around the fact that racism is like the flu. And young kids are being infected by this. And we need to be able to build a society where we're almost, you know, strengthening kids' immune system to be immune to these things. But you can actually see with these kids, it's like they're there and then getting infected by this. And there's, you know, nothing you can do, you know, with these adults who have like pneumonia, basically, not even a flu anymore.
And you got to inoculate yourself against your own parents' prejudices. That's number one. So this little girl, I think it's a little girl with the glasses on at the table. I hope she's seen enough now to know that she can be better than that. But, you know, Mubs has said it before 100 times. He said, I do remember what you say, and I do quote you from time to time.
Okay.
She said that racism is always going to be there.
Hmm.
All we've got to do is find ways of dealing with it. And no one can help you deal with it. You have to do it yourself. You have to go, well, listen, these two people... And everybody who's climbed on the race bandwagon on this, they're just not as good as me. I'm going to be better than that. I'm going to try and evolve beyond that stupidity and that basic behavior. And if I can, I will make the world better for me. And that's all I can do. You can't make it better for everyone else. And you can't extract the racism from people.
Mm-mm.
So let them carry on. They can throw feces at each other and oh, like those two did in the spur. We don't have to join in. The rest of us can be above that and move on. Right.
Right. And then SARS, that would be the South African Revenue Service, they say that they believe they have nothing to fear from apparently a planned investigation into its processes, Gareth.
Well,
the finance minister gave the clearance for the new tax ombudsman, Judge Bernard Ngwepe, to conduct this investigation into SARS.
They haven't paid a whole bunch of people their tax returns.
Apparently, there have been complaints that were laid with SARS pertaining to serious, serious delays when it comes to tax refunds.
Well, because
SARS
have run out of money.
How have they run out of money that they are taking from
because they're being run
my
by,
salary every month?
First of all, they don't get to take all of that and keep it because you submit expenses and they have to pay you back. That's the whole point of a tax refund. But Tom Moyane has been so busy doing the president's bidding that he hasn't been paying attention to the way they collect tax. And now SARS have got this ugly situation where they're providing the treasury with income for the government, but the government is spending more than they get in. And even though they've raised taxes, they're not making what they should be because the economy's not growing. So government's putting pressure on SARS, like, we need more money, we need more money.
Mm.
SARS are going, well, we've even upped the tax rate. You heard Pravin's speech.
Mm, the budget speech.
Right. So we should be bringing in more, but we're not as effective because we don't have Pravin as the boss of SARS anymore, remember?
Yeah.
he used to be the SARS commissioner, and you couldn't get anything past him. He was like the Berlin Wall. Tom Moyane is so dug in with the whole politics of the thing that he's no good as a SARS commissioner. And when legitimate people who are owed money by SARS say, hey, listen, where's my refund? SARS go, ooh, because they know the coffers are empty. So guess who's going to lose in this situation? Who always loses?
Us.
Yep.
Because we're not part of the plan.
Right.
So Judge Ngwepe said last month that he felt it was necessary to write directly to Tom Moyane after he had received so many complaints about the late payment of tax refunds. But then in response, SARS have said, no. 93% of those who are paid within 72 hours. There aren't serious delays here. But SARS are going to have to, you know, get along with the plan, because the finance minister has now okayed this investigation that will begin.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get into some sport with Ben. Ben, what do you got for us this morning?
The Olympic Games, Gareth. Who wants them?
Nobody, right?
Yeah, essentially.
Oh.
Okay, so we all know that Tokyo is the next one, right?
Uh-huh.
And we all know it costs an absolute shit ton of money to have an Olympic Games.
Right.
Of which your city is then riddled with debt, stadiums and other places where no one uses. Eventually, they become crack dens and graffiti hubs.
Right.
So this is essentially what the IOC is trying to sell the whole world. Obviously, they don't sell it like I just sold it. They do other nice things and use a bit of spin. So 2024 is the next one that's up for grabs because... Wait, sorry, hang on a second. That's
yeah.
Not right.
Is it? The Russians have got the... The Russians and then... No,
it's Tokyo is the next one, right?
Don't the Russians have it as well?
No, the Russians have...
they've got the World Cup football. Okay.
See, it's difficult to keep track of this because people are always umming and ahhing. Okay, so the next Olympics is Tokyo.
Right.
Then 2024, right? Paris say, cool, we're in. Los Angeles say, cool, we're in. This sounds great, right? We've got two massive first world cities involved. Thing is, though, like Rome's pulled out. I think it's Budapest also pulled out. Everyone else has just pulled out. Nobody cares. So all the IOC have to play with is Paris and Los Angeles. The problem is, neither of them want the 2028 Olympics. They're both saying it's 2024 or no dice.
So
the IOC are screwed here because they know that, 2028, who knows what's going to happen with this world as far as, it's already not viable to host these stupid things.
Okay.
But these two cities can do it because infrastructure is not a big issue, and they'll be able to make a success because of what's in place already. But now the IOC is thinking, well, whoever loses this one can then get 2028, to which both of them are saying, get stuffed. None of us want 2028.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got two very strong cities, and the IOC doesn't really want to make a winner or a loser here. They want to use both of them as much as they can. So September could see some interesting times because they're going to go to Peru. And they're going to announce the 2024 host. So someone's going to be very happy and someone's just basically going to say, we'll get stuffed.
Right.
So if you want the 2028 Olympics, you're pretty much the only one that can have it. It's just you need $50 billion or whatever, however much it costs.
Well, it doesn't sound like a good deal.
It really doesn't, Gareth. No. And if you were to just Google Rio Olympic venues, all you'll see is a place where people are getting murdered, where stray dogs hang out now. I mean, it's just so sad. It really is so sad. That beautiful Maracanã Stadium, it's just basically a toilet now. It's just a massive toilet where people just steal things from. Like, there's no cable in there anymore. All the lights have been taken out. Seats have been ripped up. It's just such a mess. And it's such an iconic arena. And they spent like $50 million to refurbish it and upgrade it.
Right.
That golf course is basically, there's just capybaras and caimans now just shitting all over the greens. Like, no one's going there. No one's using it. It is so sad. And the IOC are just like, well, you know, it's not our fault. Whatever. You guys are just running a terrible show. It's bad business. The Olympics must go back to Athens, give Greece something to do other than sit in their asses and drink ouzo, and everything will be fine.
All right.
Grappa, whatever the hell they drink there.
Well, ouzo or grappa, both are good.
Yeah, this week is a big deal in golf because it's the WGC Dell Technologies match play.
All right.
Now, what that means is that the best players, other than Ricky Fowler, because his schedule won't permit it, because he prioritizes Arnold Palmer's event, they all get put into groups. So there's four players per group. They all play a round robin against each other, so it's match play. So you play hole for hole rather than a stroke play event. The winner of every group then goes into a sudden death toe-to-toe match play. That takes place on the Saturday and the Sunday. And then at the end of it, somebody will win this and it'll be one of the most grueling weeks of their life. So just to give it a group one, Dustin Johnson, Jimmy Walker, Martin Keimer, Webb Simpson. Group two, we've got Roy McIlroy, Emiliano Grillo, Gary Woodland, and Soren Kjeldsen. Group three, Jason Day, Mark Leishman, who won last week, Lee Westwood, and Pat Perez, who says Tiger's done and dusted. Good for you, Pat. Group four, Hideki Matsuyama, Louis Oosthuizen, Ross Fisher, and Jim Furyk. Group five, Jordan Spieth, Ryan Moore, Yuta Akita, and Hadito Tantlala. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Tanihara. Lots of Japanese people. This is great. Great for sport. That's where the next Olympics is going to be. Justin Thomas is in group six with Matt Fitzpatrick, Kevin Na, and Chris Wood. Group seven has got Sergio Garcia, John Rahm, Kevin Chappell, and Shane Lowry. That's fascinating because Sergio has been the sort of, you know, the Spanish guy after Seve, kind of in Jose Maria Arrizabal. And now John Rahm is this new talent who's coming up. He's going to kick all their asses. This guy's right. proper good. Group eight, we've got Alex Noren, Francisco Molinari, Bernd Wiesberger, and Tong Chai Jaidi.
A Bernd Wiesberger. I had one of those once at Spur.
What?
I got really furious with some black woman, and we started shouting at each other.
Oh, dear.
A Bernd Wiesberger. It's the worst.
Group 9's got Patrick Reed, Brooks Koepka, Kevin Kistner, and Jason Duffner. And then Group 10, Tyrrell Hatton, Rafael Cabrera Cabello. Tyrrell Hatton. Yeah. Xinwang Wang.
Do you know what a Tiroler Hut is? It's an actual hat they wear in the Austrian Alps. So this guy is named after a Tyrol hat. I mean, this is ridiculous. These are real people.
These are real
Bernd
people.
Bernd Wiesberger and Tyrol Hatton. Yeah. Unreal.
Rafa Cabrera Bello, who only ever does arms at gym. And then Xinwang Wang and Charles Hull III.
All
Group 11, Danny Willett, Russell Knox, Bill Haas, Katie Kim. Group 12, Paul Katie, Charles Swartzel, Byeonyang An, and Urs Leighton. Group 13, we've got Bubba Watson, Thomas Peters, Scott Piercy, Jonathan Vegas. Mm-hmm. Group, how many fucking groups are there? 14, Phil Mickelson, JB Holmes, Daniel Berger, Siwoo Kim. And then group 15, Brandon Grace, Brant Snedeker, William McGirt, Andy Sullivan. And then the final group, Matt Kuchar, Tommy Fleetwood, Zach Johnson, Brandon Steele. The reason I went through all of that is because this is a huge event because it's match play. So there's action throughout. You're not looking at some guys just making par who's midfield. Every one of these games has massive significance. Round robin, and then on the weekend, you'll see the full-on sudden death playoff match play. It's just going to be absolutely amazing. Rugby over the weekend, we'll see Super Rugby as per usual. The Stormers are sending a weekend side to Singapore. Mm-hmm. To play against the Sunwolves, which just basically shows where this tournament's at, because every week people are strategically playing their strongest or weakest teams depending on how they see the priority of the match, which just means these games really are worth very, very little, which is very, very sad. And then finally, Gareth, all we have time for today is to tell you about the cricket for the weekend. Huge test match weekend approaching. We've got the Proteas taking on New Zealand. They're already 1-0 up in the series final match, but they might be without de Kock, who's hurt his finger. We'll keep you updated on that. And then Australia, India. There's so much tension and bad blood in this series. It's a bit like watching Twilight. It's all very quite immature. But a big deal there because this one's also tied at one apiece into the final test. It's all starting on Saturday. And the final cricket story, more Pakistanis have been involved in spot fixing. Now that is, they've got that Premier League T20 something or other. And Shahril Khan, Khalid Latif, Mohammed Irfan, Shahzad Hassan and Nasser Jamshed.
Your sport's just becoming a list of really stupid, ridiculous, made-up names. You've got to be careful.
Look, today there wasn't a whole bunch to really get excited about, so I just basically just listed a whole bunch of names. So
all right.
Those are the five Pakistanis who are now being involved in another spot-fixing thing, which just goes to show that Pakistanis take two steps forward and they take three steps back to a bookie.
Yep.
Always the case, unfortunately.
There we go.
And Mickey Arthur is furious about this.
All right, let's get to Anthea. It's time to find out what's going on in the money shot. And here she is. A very energetic start to the money shot this morning. Hello, Anthea. How are you?
Good morning, Gareth. Feeling energized after that, for sure.
Sure. Right.
Not so much on Monday, though. Very slow day, I'm afraid, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
Less than $1 billion worth of shares changed hands on Monday. A little bit directionless through the day, but at least we managed almost 0.5% higher on the day.
Mm-hmm.
Rand's still very strong. 12.70 against the dollar, 13.70 to the euro, and 15.84 to the British pound. The pound, of course, a little bit weaker because on Monday, Theresa May said that she would trigger Brexit on the 29th of March. And then, of course, from there, they've got 2 years to cut ties. But at least now the market will start getting a bit of clarity around exactly what Brexit involves. I think the market a little bit happy about that. Naspers put in a strong performance. They've got 10 cents results today. I checked a few minutes ago. I thought it would be out by now, but maybe they'll do it after market close. The market in Hong Kong closes at 4 o'clock, so 10 o'clock our time. We're expecting a strong set of results with at least double-digit growth numbers from Tencent. Tencent holds 12% stake in Activision Blizzard, you know, the gaming business. So they own King Digital, Candy Crush, what's it, World of Warcraft, and all those.
Amazing.
Activision reported incredible results late last week. The share was up 19% on the day. It was up another 5% after that. So just some really good numbers coming out of there. And I think they've still got a lot of potential to up their ARPU, which is, I forget what it stands for now, but the actual spend per user. They now have about 355 million monthly active users who are spending between $2 and $3 each. And they're hoping to push it up to $4, which almost automatically doubles their income or their revenue per day. Per user.
Okay, but the bottom line is, Anthea, I mean, all of this talking about Tencent and, you know, their results and all these gaming companies they own a piece of, the bottom line is for people who own NASPAS shares, and we have that in our hashtag invest portfolio, is...
Yay, it's all going to go up.
Great.
Well, hopefully. We'll see. Yeah, NASPAS just really needs a break, right? It's kind of languished a bit, really not going anywhere. And I am expecting some good stuff from there, so hopefully this will be the trigger. And then there's been a bit of action in the food sector of our economy. On Monday, Alan Keat, who was the CEO of Grand Parade Investment, said he was stepping down. He's moving into the food division, taking over there. He was appointed as the... I'm not sure it was the operational manager. It was that kind of title last year when the CEO of Burger King South Africa resigned. And really, I think he's just going to focus on making sure that Burger King, Dunkin' Donuts, and Baskin-Robbins, kind of the new brands that they've brought in, are going to become profitable.
All right.
And then also in last week's Financial Mail, there was speculation that Brian Joffe of Bidvest fame and Kevin Hedewick of Famous Brands fame are up to something. Now, it seems that neither of them are confirming or denying. You know that story, right?
Yeah.
So obviously there's something going on, and it looks like they're probably going to. And I imagine if they do get together to do another new business, it'll be in the food services sector or food, maybe not producers, but it'll be in the food sector.
All right. How is Grand Parade doing generally?
He also really not doing great, struggling. They just haven't managed to get Burger King off the ground. This is probably why Alan Keats is going to step in and focus a little bit on that brand.
Okay.
And then we've had a couple of questions about a new listing, Pembrey Lifestyle Group. They're listing on the JSE on the 31st of March. Mm-hmm. The group was founded in 1999 as a retirement villages kind of business, lifestyle property business. They then expanded into education 2 years ago. Their business model is based on converting properties that were earmarked for retirement villages or leisure into schools. Their fees range between 20,900 Rand to about 49,000 Rand per year.
Okay.
Which is about 20 to 25% less than their competitors, but still higher than government schools.
Mm.
I think you and I both know private education sector in South Africa in high demand at the moment.
Well, what is our best performing? Well, my best performing share, if I look at your portfolio just in a cursory way, is there are two of them. There's Advitech, which has done really, really
Yay.
Well.
Mm-hmm.
And who are the competitors again?
Caro
Schools.
Right.
Yeah, also good.
Yeah, but this one, I'm afraid, I'm not so convinced about. They're coming to market with a fairly thinly capitalized balance sheet, and I do think they still need money to implement their strategy. You know, effectively, shareholders will be putting up 100% of the capital for 40% of the equity. Management are valuing the business at 213 million rand, and they're going to generate 70 million rand in revenue this year. And by kind of speculation, well, not speculation, but by calculation, it after tax loss of 4.5 million rand. So they're still very much in the valley of that J curve. So I'm going to stay away from it for a while. But, you know, and I say this, but remember Premier Fishing?
Yes.
Same story. I stayed away from it. The share spiked to over 5 rand. In fact, it traded up to 5 rand 40 a share. I mean, they IPO'd at 4 rand 50 or 4 rand 70, somewhere around there. But the share is now trading back to 4 rand 60. So what happens with all of these, that seems to happen with all of these, is that there's so much demand for the new listing. People buy it. The first couple of days, the share spikes. And then it kind of just trickles back to where it should be. So I guess if you really want it, there's a trading opportunity. Not really my game. Not worth taking the risk. It's binary. It could go either way.
All right. Well, we take your advice on these things, which is why we've got your free advice as part of the hashtag invest portfolio.
Indeed.
Okay. So other than that, are there any other expected ups and downs today that we should look out for? Are you expecting a quiet day in the markets or a busy one?
I think it'll be a bit busy because offshore global markets have been very busy, but I'm afraid my screen is all red, like really all red today. The US was down over 1%, a huge down day. Asia's down again today, mostly financials and commodity shares under pressure today. So yeah, not expecting too much, I'm afraid, other than maybe Naspers holding thumbs for that.
Well, that would be a nice bounce.
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Anthea.
Have a good day.
Good stuff. Anthea Gardner and a look at the money in the Money Shot. You can get that every single day at around 10 to 7. And you can always listen to the podcast later on. You know, you can get that and Ben Sport as separate little podcasts anytime you want them. If you need a refresher, if you need to find out what's going on in the news, we'll have some more news in a short while. So lots of stuff to look forward to this morning. Plenty for you to talk about and plenty for us to get stuck into. Those people who've taken the whole week off, shame on you. Shame on you for letting the whole country down. Ben, Sia, Mabali, Lucas, Balesa, we're all here. You know, we've got things to do. We're not going to let you down. Those people who took yesterday off, that's a different story. It's a public holiday. You expect it to. But the rest of the week, how dare you? CliffCentral.com.